You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One live from TIFF 2018. In this one-on-one, we get to speak with actor Barlow Jacobs, who stars in the film The Old Man and the Gun, which premiered this week at the festival. In this episode, we get to speak to Barlow about the magic of David Lowery, bringing the past to life, and what it means to work with legends. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. I'm sorry I'm a little late.
Oh, no worries. That's no worries. You're 4 minutes late. I think I'm 4 minutes late for everything in my life, so that's fine.
I try and be punctual. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I saw the film on Monday night. It's fantastic. I really loved it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I think it's great.
Honestly, it's just, I described it to the person I was with. I described it as almost pure joy. You know, a lot of these films have sort of a dark edge, but this one, there's just something wonderful about it and endearing. Congratulations on the achievement.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I feel honored to be a part of it. I'm a small part of it, but always I love working with David. And obviously, anytime you get to work with a cast at that caliber and crew as well, it's pretty special.
Well, absolutely. I was wondering, how did you come to be involved? I know you know David, but how did you come to be involved in the film, and what excited you about it?
Well, what excited me about it is just David Lowery, I mean, period. I just think, as far as my peer group, he's one of the most exciting directors working, in my opinion. And so anytime he's, you know, on that list of people who, if they just say, hey, I wrote something for you, I'm in. Like, I don't need to read anything. I know if he's investing his energy into it, then I know it's going to be something special. And, yeah, like you said, I knew David. I'd worked with David on his first feature, almost 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Or no, maybe, I guess it was St. Nick, 2008, maybe. So I'd worked with him on that, and we'd known each other. We'd met on the film festival circuit. I had a film that was on the film festival circuit in 2007 called Lo and Behold. It was a feature I'd produced and written and acted in, and he had a short, and we just met at film festivals. We just ended up in a lot of place and really hit it off, and kind of pretty immediately started like a creative collaboration. We had a couple of writing projects we were working on together, and then when he did his first feature, he asked me to be in it, and yeah, it was just that. And then when the Old Man the Gun came around, we were at Sundance for a ghost story, and he had pulled me aside and said he'd written something for me for it, and I said, hey, I'm in. Just tell me where to show up. And when he sent me the script, I read it, and the character was, I don't often get to play like funny or be the guy like comedic relief, and so that was really appealing to me in that character. And but as you said, it's also rare to read a script that's just, and there's a sweetness to it that's really wonderful, and there's a sentimentality, it's a sentimental film without using sentimentality, which I think is a really, really difficult to do. I think most people, when they do something sentimental, they lean on a lot of sentimentality and tropes that are in with that, and it's it lends itself to a cheapness and not a well thought sentimentality or sentimentalness, and so that film to me just really resonated for that, because like you said, it's rare to find those kind of movies. There is a lot of dark edge, especially in the indie world, and so to do something like that feels really honest and sweet and sentimental without being cheap or cheesy, it's a really special.
I'm glad that you put it that way, because it comes across as a film that honors films of the past without being a slave to films of the past, or even without being bound by films of the past. You're right. In fact, in a lot of ways, the film sort of feels frozen in time. You know, there's this element of the passage of time, even down to the technology being authentic to the period and whatnot. I was wondering, can you talk about that experience working with working in an environment that's trying to bring back another era?
Yeah, purely my feeling, and I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are. But for me, the thing I like about David, and I think David and I share this desire, I think, in just writing and stuff, is like I feel like all David's films kind of exist somewhere between like 1978 and like 1998, and even though this one is definitely specifically period, I think a lot of missteps a lot of period films make is that they're just, it's too self-consciously period, and so they kind of overdo production design, and it's like, or they get like too on the nose of the period, where it's like, it's 1981 and everything on the thing is like from 1981, whereas like in real life in 1981 everything looked a lot more like 1976 or 1974, because like no one was getting new appliances for 1981 across the board,
right?
And I think David is very conscious of that, and his team is very conscious of that, so really created the Seamless, where you walk on, and it does feel very, even though it does feel very period, I think the thing that I liked about the movie is, like, it does feel like a homage to those movies that I love from the 70s, but also feels very modern,
yeah,
as well. And so I wasn't distracted, I guess, by the period. I think a lot of times, and I think that's another, again, like, I feel like David was, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunity to take missteps, and I think his ability to kind of do a period film without it being distracting, because that's another thing, you watch a period film, you're almost so distracted by the fact that it's a period film that you kind of, even if it's impressive, it kind of takes away from the story or distracts from the story, and I feel like that David was able to make a film that is a definitively a period film, but doesn't feel, like you said, like it doesn't feel like a slave to that period, and it also, yeah, it just doesn't distract from the story of what he was telling, and all these, because there's so much going on. You've got so many characters, so many kind of different storylines, and just the fact that he was able to pull all that off was really awesome to watch.
Yeah, and you know, each of the characters seems so human. You know, there's a really wonderful interplay here. You know, with all the characters, really, where they're based on real people, but they feel like real characters, which is an interesting distinction, because you can feel like a hyper stylized version of a certain real character, true to life incident, but this one doesn't have that. How did you prepare for the role, and was your character a real character, or was he someone that was a composite of others, or?
From what I understood, it was just a couple of different characters. I think I feel like my character kind of came to embrace the officers that kind of thought the whole thing was a joke, and so I think I was, I don't think I was like one, there was necessarily one detective Offerman who just busted John's Hunt's chops all the time, but I'm sure he was like, I was a representative of everybody kind of thing. He was a little bit of a joke, these old timers, and so that was more, so it wasn't anybody particular that I had to be like based off of, which is nice. It's always freeing when, I mean, it's nice to have that as a resource as an actor when you're preparing, but it's also nice not to have to feel like you have to be beholden to, you know, there's a certain responsibility that comes along with playing a real person, and So I kind of felt free, like, and David gave me a lot of freedom to kind of do what I wanted with that character and have fun with it. And so, as I said, like, most times I do end up playing, you know, somewhat serious characters. And in this case, it was just nice to not have to be carrying that weight, more get to kind of come in and be playful. And David really creates a safe environment is very much like an actor's director, just because he creates a really safe environment, really encourages you to push yourself, like it, and just kind of feel the boundaries of where you can go. And it's nice to, and I have enough trust in him where I feel like I can kind of push it and know that I don't have to self-govern myself. Like, I know if I'm pushing too far, he'll dial me back in. Mm. And that's a really nice, that's not something I would do with all directors. I mean, you have to really build on a trust to know that, hey, I can like push this up. I can dial this up. Let's see where this can go. But I don't have to play this safe, because I know I've got a director who's intelligent enough and knows the story well enough that if it's too much or if it's too little, like, he'll be able to give you that feedback. Yeah. And so I think whenever you have that kind of trust in your director as an actor, it just makes your life not necessarily easier, it allows that environment to be so much more productive and inspiring.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you guys have a great working relationship. You've been involved in, Ghost Story 2 is just a fantastic film.
Oh, man, it's amazing, yeah.
There are rumors as well that this may be Robert's last acting role. I think he's sort of suggested or hinted around that could be the case.
Right.
Is there anything that you, like, from your time with him, may have taken away from that experience or learned from him?
I think, like, I wouldn't say there was anything, because I didn't have any scenes with him, so we had no, like, we were on set together, obviously.
Right, that's what
and
I mean.
I think just from, and obviously whenever you get to be around all the caliber of talent there, but just as an actor, I just think of someone who loves film, you just want to watch the process. I mean, it was definitely a set that, and I've been really fortunate to work with a lot of gifted directors,
Absolutely.
Gifted actors, and when you have that kind of talent there, as for me, because I just genuinely love movies and I love every aspect of the filmmaking process, you just want to watch. And to watch him and Danny and Tom Waits and, like together, like watching Danny Glover, Tom Waits, and
Robert
together,
yeah,
is just magic. And I think with Robert, he's got an air of professionalism to him, and the way I can say it. I mean, I don't want to, like, overstep. I mean, he's obviously someone who I really admire, but as far as, like, this particular experience, what I took away is just, even at where he is at this stage, and whether this is or isn't his last film, he just is a professional and treats everyone with respect and respects the process, respects the director, respects the crew, and still at this point it carries himself that way.
That's great. And you're right. I mean, the entire cast, I certainly don't mean to single or take anything away from them in mentioning Robert, but just a fantastic cast across the board, from Casey Affleck to Sissy Spacek to Danny,
my gosh,
to Tom.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a murderer's row.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Just incredible. Is there anything else you're working on right now that you can tell us about that's coming down, coming soon, or?
I'm directing a feature, right, that we're about to go into production. We're actually in kind of the chaos of pre-production right now, and so it's a film that I'm really excited about. It's an experimental documentary it's a film that I've never seen before, and so I've been working on the last 6 months pulling together, and so we're kind of shooting the leg one of it right now, and it's going to be crazy, but I'm super excited about it.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, maybe we'll see you at TIFF next year then with that film.
Yeah, that's the hope. That is the hope. That would be quite an honor. But it's big and exciting and challenging. It terrifies me and also excites me. And whenever I'm in that headspace, it usually means I'm heading in the right direction.
Well, it sounds great. Barlow, thank you so much for just taking some time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's a great film. Old Man and the Gun is absolutely fantastic. It's a lot of fun, and it's a joy to watch. So thank you for that, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, Barlow.